1 Peter chapter number 3. Seems like it's been a long time since I've preached here. But I sure am glad I've been able to come to church here today. 1 Peter 3, verse number 12. If you're there tonight, say amen for me. I'm glad I don't have a copy of the Word of God. I'm glad I have the Word of God. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord over the righteous. Boy, I sure am glad of this. And His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord against them that do evil. Who is he that will harm you? If ye be followers of that which is good. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready, that's a good word. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience. Whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed, falsely accuse you of your good conversation or behavior in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil doing. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this time together. Help us now in the Word of God. Help us, I pray, to be a blessing to the people of God tonight. Use us. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask you all these things tonight. Amen and amen. Appreciate you standing honoring the reading of the Word of God this evening. I like to preach on this subject in verse number 17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I'll preach on this simple subject tonight on the suffering servant. The suffering servant. There's a lot of people here this evening that seems like they're going through many trials and so many tests. I found out in this Christian walk of life that there are many struggles, there are many trials. Lots of times there are so many types of different suffering that come to us, but I look this word up simply to be straightforward, and it says this: a sensation that is usually painful. Suffering is not fun. I found this, that a person can suffer mentally. There's no doubt many of us tonight that some of our biggest struggles are mentally. The devil is a liar, and he's not only the liar, he's the father of liars. He'll tell you that everybody's against you and nothing you're doing's right and nothing that you do is matter. But I want to remind you, he is the devil and he's a liar tonight. The devil will tell you that nobody cares for you, nobody loves you. But you always remember this in the Bible. When you think nobody loves you, there's always somebody that's going to love you. And he is the Lord Jesus tonight. And so we struggle many times in our suffering mentally. And then I've learned some things, not only about suffering mentally, but I have found a little bit about suffering physically. You know, many times trials and suffering come through the physical hurts and the physical aches of life and that life brings unto us. For I'm going to tell you, life is no respecter of persons. I'd love to tell you that if you'd serve God and you'd pay your tithes and be faithful, read your Bible and pray and love one another, that you wouldn't have any suffering that's contrary to the Word of God. A lot of times, I've heard this many times, people would come and they'd see somebody that's really struggling, suffering, and they'd say, well, I wonder what they've done wrong. It might not be what you've done wrong, it may be what you're doing right. I want to look at a few things tonight about this term of suffering. And I'd like to say, number one, the captain of our suffering. You know, how could we ever appreciate what the Lord has done for us unless we too have struggled in this thing of suffering? The Lord Jesus took our sins upon a cross. He took them upon Himself by Himself. The Bible said He became a curse for us. He took your sin and my sin. He took every sin that I'd ever commit upon that old rugged cross, and He died a life of suffering. There's the captain of our suffering. We find Him in Hebrews 2, and boy, what a powerful verse in Hebrews chapter number 2. And I want you to look in verse number 9 tonight. Simply, the Bible tells us about the captain of our salvation. He said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. How was He made a little lower than the angels? Because He had to come and suffer death. He had to come and die. Never will you find where the angels have ever died. Many have been cast out and many have been used by Satan. But honey, let me tell you, God was created a little lower than the angels because of death. That He had to come and obey the hand of God. He said, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. I sure am glad He died for everybody tonight. It's not a selective audience that He died for. If you die and go to hell and you sin, you'll die. You'll go to hell as an intruder. Jesus paid your sin debt tonight. For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons into glory to make the, here's our phrase, the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You see, there's only some things that suffering will do. I can tell you tonight that I'm a better preacher because of suffering. I'm a better Christian because of suffering. I'm a better parent because of suffering. I'm a better husband because of suffering. And I can tell you this, I can be a better friend to you for the thing of suffering. Jesus, the great captain of our salvation, we find that we have the captain of our suffering. Now, in Hebrews 2, you'll notice this in the Scripture. The Bible said in verse number 9, we see Jesus. There's the man that is exposed in our Bible. Look what the Bible said. But we see Jesus. Jesus is His earthly name. The Holy Ghost appointed Him His name. And so we see our captain, the man of it. But then notice this, the making of it. He said He was made a little lower than the angels. Then look at the ministry of Him. For the suffering of death. Then look at the majesty of Him. He is crowned with glory and honor. Let me tell you, just because He suffered death does not mean that He's not crowned above all kings tonight. For He is the captain of our salvation. He's the captain of suffering. And I'm going to tell you, we see the great ministry of His suffering. One thing about it. When He has a ministry of suffering, He knows something about what you and I are going through tonight. Never think you're by yourself. Never let the devil tell you you're by yourself in suffering. Because there's somebody that's been the captain of suffering. He's known everything of what we are and what would ever happen unto us. He's no stranger to the ministry of suffering. And we see His ministry and His majesty, but boy, look at the message. I love this. That by the grace of God, and you better believe that, by the grace of God, not by the law of Moses, but by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Isn't that amazing? You know, maybe for us to get people's attention and witnessing, maybe we should take a different approach and say, if I told you about somebody that died for you, would you think a lot of them? But tonight, let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus got on an old Roman cross. He died for you individually. He didn't die for us corporately. He died for us individually. And now tonight we're saved by grace through faith. Nothing added to or nothing taken from. I'm glad by the grace of God He tasted death for every man. Gives me hope tonight. I sure am glad there's the captain of our suffering. But then secondly, there's the conflict of our suffering. The Bible said in 1 Peter, and it's amazing that Peter wrote so much of this thing of suffering. He must have known something about it. I've noticed this, that a preacher can't preach many sermons unless he's lived them or experienced them. Not many singers has ever been able to sing a song unless they can relate to the song. But here, Peter, as he penned down this pen by the Holy Ghost, he wrote something about suffering, and he talked about this conflict of our suffering. In 1 Peter 4:12, the Bible says this, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be which obey not the gospel of God? Hath the righteous scarcely be saved? Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." The conflict of suffering. In verse 12, you'll notice that your conflict of suffering will always be personal. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try not them, but you." There are things that's going to come to us individually that are tailor-made for us. Yes, God may not have created this suffering, but He certainly does allow this thing of suffering. When He told Adam in the garden, He said, "Since you've sinned," He said, "this earth will become a curse." And I'm going to tell you, we're all living out in a cursed world tonight. If all of this was heaven, then heaven wouldn't be there when we got there. "Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial," look, "which is to try you, to temper you, to see what sort you are." As I told some of you this morning, Brother Chad had stood up and said why he was here at church. He knew why he was here. I wonder why you're here. Matter of fact, if you don't know why you're here, it won't be long. You'll be out of the house of God. But honey, when suffering and trials come, they'll come in and try you and make only out of you what that fire can make out of you. It'll show you what you're made out of. Oh, suffering shows us our weakness. It shows us just how much we really do need our God. If there's nobody in this building tonight that was not suffering mentally or physically or even spiritually, we wouldn't know who the captain of our salvation is. But honey, I'm glad tonight there's a God in heaven that has His eyes upon all of His children. Nah, sure, I'm glad He said, "For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose." I'm glad tonight I don't have to have the answers, but thank God I got the anchors tonight. I'm glad I'm anchored into yonder shore. I'm glad I know who's loved me and who's allowed these things to happen in my life. There are no accidents for the child of God. I heard one of the most foolish preachers I ever heard get up, and I should have set him down, but it would embarrass the whole town. There was a cheerleader in our church back years ago and got killed. There was some liberal nut stood up and he said this was an accident of nature. Honey, you hear me and hear me well tonight. In God's world, in God's culture, there is no accidents of nature. There's a sovereign God sitting on the throne, and He gives life, and He takes life, and He does that pleases Him tonight. I'm glad my theology grows a lot deeper than an accident of nature. There's a God in heaven that loves all of His children. And I notice about when this suffering comes in my life and in others' life, there's always the conflict of suffering. It's personal. It'll touch you. A lot like major surgery and minor surgery. Minor surgery is when somebody else is having it done. Major surgery is when they're doing it on you that Monday morning. Oh my, I've noticed this conflict of suffering. It's personal. Then verse 12, you'll see it's painful. The fiery trial which is to try you. Painful. I like to say something to young people. Be kind to old people. Open doors for them. Don't laugh at them if they walk funny and can't hardly get around. If time allows you, you'll get there one day. And older people, could I give you some good pastoral counseling tonight? Be graceful to young people. You've not got where you are tonight without the grace of God. We've all made bad decisions, and the reason we're not in a bad place, the grace of God was about us, and we just didn't get caught at what we was doing. Oh my, we better realize without the grace of God, we'd all be in hell tonight. We'd all be in a bad, bad place. Young people, be kind to older people. Older people, be graceful to younger people. Don't be too hard on young people. Steer them and guide them. Set an example and love them. Don't beat them down when they're down. Help them up. Oh my, the conflict of suffering. It's personal and it's painful. But in verse 13, this is amazing. The Bible says it's praiseful. But rejoice. Inasmuch as that you got a good job. Rejoice inasmuch as you got money in the bank. Rejoice that you got friends everywhere. No, he says, rejoice. Because you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. My, isn't it amazing that God would entrust us with suffering? You know, Daddy had a saying in Tennessee. He simply said this, boy, everybody knows how to handle the bear till they get a hold of him. You better be sure of this thing tonight. That this thing of suffering becomes praiseful. You can get to a place in your relationship and fellowship with God. You can rejoice and say, Lord, I'm glad that you've chosen me to suffer for your honor and your glory. I'd rather be suffering for the cause of Christ than for the cause of the devil tonight. I've heard people say, you're going to burn yourself out preaching. I don't know nobody who I'd rather burn out for. At least I go home with a clear conscience and a clean heart. And I thank Him for the praise of our suffering. Then you'll notice verse 14 has found this so true, and many of you have. Look at the power of the suffering. He said in verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. You know, people that have the power of God, they're sufferers. You can name any preacher in America that God's using and God's got His hand on. I'll tell you one thing they all have in common. Number one, they're broken and they're suffering. Any Christian that God is using with great power, they'll always have something in common. They'll always be broken. And they always are suffering. That the power of Christ would rest upon them. I want to say something tonight, and I don't say it loosely. I'm the pastor, and I want to say this for the family that I've seen here this morning. As Brother Chad stood and testified, did you see the glow and the power of God about him? That only comes by suffering. God knows when His children are hurting, and He has a special glow about them. I'll never forget Brother David, Miss Sherry, know this old Church of God man, precious old saint. He's in heaven tonight. I couldn't call his name, but Brother David and them got me to go by and pray for him. He lived in a little place out toward the rubber plant that burnt. Brother Thornton. I went in there one night and he was on his bed of affliction. Brother Michael, I went in there to be a blessing to that old man. I said, I got some members in my church requesting me to come by and have prayer for him. This is what he said. He said, oh, son. Said, you the preacher down there, let me pray for you. And that old man on his bed of affliction put his hand out and put his hand on my head and heaven opened down there and smothered me by the grace of God. That old man had the power of God because he was suffering. Suffering allows the presence of God. In this thing of the ministry of suffering, our church, no doubt, the reason it's grown, it's not because of your preacher. It's not because of good leadership. But it's because it's been a people that's been so broken-spirited that the God of heaven's given you a place to go to church and minister to. I remember preachers coming in our young days preaching to this assembly, and they'd say, Brother Ken, you got the most brokenest people I've ever seen. And let me tell you, Liberty Baptist Church tonight, it don't matter how big our church gets and how fancy the campus becomes, honey, without the presence of God, we are nothing tonight. And we need the Lord ministering in our heart every time we come to this place. This ought to be a place for broken people to come to get fixed and help for the honor and the glory of God. This life is too short. Help us to stay broken. Not so high-minded of how many we're running, how many missionaries we're sending around the world and how big our offerings are. Honey, without the grace of God, we'd lock these doors in a week. We better realize where our blessing comes from, and you better not be so crippled too high for crutches tonight and realize we better use these altars and weep our way to God and stay broken upon our own accord, realizing, Lord, we need You, and without You we can do nothing. Nothing. I don't care the education that a man receives. I don't care the honors that a man receives. Without the presence of God upon that ministry, it's nothing. Oh, Lord. Suffering is praiseful. I'll get on. I'll not whine, but I do want to say this statement. I know what I'm preaching about. There's been times that I've cried at my lowest. I said, God, I want to go down there and preach, and I can't physically get there. God, I want to be able to do this and do that. But I've noticed when I hurt the most, the power of God's upon me the most. Suffering. You know, a lot of people make little of suffering, but I'll never forget that. Seemed like I was going through one of the greatest valleys. This last November, right before my mother had passed, some things had happened in my life. Nobody, just me and my wife know about. was up on a mountain far away from here. Nobody hardly knew me. It felt like I couldn't even open my Bible. I was so downtrodden and so heavy-hearted, hurting physically. I opened that Bible and the power of God filled that place. People began to come and weep, and God honored His Word. And if God, if you've got to keep me broken, that you could pass me around to be a blessing to people, that I say, hallelujah, I'm glad, God, that you picked me, that I may go through some trials in this life for you. I'm glad I'm not upside down in the ditch for the devil tonight. Hallelujah. You see, the suffering's personal and it's painful, but it's praiseful. Thank you, Lord, for how good. And then verse 16 is so purposeful. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, not many of us know what that's about. Let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this half. Many of you, you've been made fun of before you come to church. Well, that's a cult. Oh, is it? It's the furthest thing from a cult that I know. I can tell you one thing, it ain't liberal. You going down there where they run, shout, and holler, and cry. I was preaching revival this week. The devil tried to encourage me last week. Walked in, that preacher said, a woman said, you going to be screaming tonight? I started saying, honey, if I live with you, I'd scream my head off. You're going to be screaming tonight. Boy, they'll ridicule you and make fun of you. When you won't go there, a little association, you won't let their women preacher get up and preach, you're an outcast. Just because you don't bow down to the gods of Egypt, they'll say, well, you know, you're really not a Christian. But honey, let me tell you, all those that stand for God, they'll suffer for it. Young people in your school, I remember my kids would go to school, they'd holler, Virgin Mary, down the hall. She'd come home and cry to her mama, making fun of her purity. Let me tell you something now. If you take a stand for God and you be a Christian, you'll suffer for it. I've seen them at that plant that God entrusted me with fly in, ask me questions, and then make fun of me when I tell them how I was achieving the results. And it's all because God had put His hand upon that place. Oh, they'd make fun of me. Oh, you're a Bible thumper. By my Lord in heaven, let them talk. You know, the more that the children of Israel were ridiculed and pushed, the greater they became in the eyes of the Lord. You know something? People can talk about you, but it's up to you whether if you make it so or not. Be careful how you answer. Anybody can lash back and get even, and that's one of the hardest things in my life. I've got a hair trigger. Somebody said, your gun loaded, it won't shoot unless it's loaded. Who wants to have to go load a gun? Look out now. They may get your gun, but I ain't shooting marbles when they come to my house. Hardest thing for me to do is answer right and be a Christian. Somebody's got their mouth on you and you know you're standing for right and doing right. Just let them talk. They talked about the Lord. They're going to talk about you if you're going to do anything for God. You know how I figured out to keep people from not talking about you? Do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. I'll tell you one thing. This is what I've done noticed about preaching, pastoring, and living. Life's short, so you might as well just say what you mean and say it so folks can understand. I don't believe he'd mind this tonight. I don't want a lot of pointing at him, but well, I won't call his name, but I got a good friend here tonight, and that's what he told me. He said, preacher, let me tell you something. People will forgive you for anything except being successful. You hear me tonight? I don't care what you're doing on your job. I don't care how far you go. They'll forgive you of anything except you being successful. If you're raising your children, your home is together, and God is blessing you. See, it's some people just can't handle your blessing. They just can't handle your blessing. And this is what I'm not. I'm not going to give away my blessing because somebody else can't handle it. I'm just going to enjoy my blessing and let people enjoy it that can enjoy it with me. I've never been jealous at nobody behind me. Hello. Phone's ringing. You can pick it up. Never been jealous of nobody behind me. And so, if you suffer as a Christian tonight, I've heard this. There's no way Brother Ken can be preaching right. He's got liberal. Don't preach nothing. Wish they had they hide here about three Sundays straight. We'd see, amen. You can preach right and love people. And a man can preach the Bible and he ain't got to be mean as a junkyard dog. Love people. Point them to the captain. I'm hurrying. I've not preached in 2 weeks. I'm hurrying. There's nobody except these got to drive further. But I want to say something tonight. The conflict of our suffering. But then the compliance of our suffering. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. The compliance of our suffering. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I want to ask you something right there. Why can't we shout as a church? If shouting's so wrong in a Baptist church, why is this verse in the Bible? Verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation or your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And we ought to be teaching all of our children respect the law. Amen. If you rob stores, you go into jail. It be the king as supreme, or the governors as of them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And then he says this. He says in verse 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. People's not going to applaud you for going to a Bible church. They're not going to applaud you for raising a family. I want to say something publicly. I have took a stance in homosexuality in my family. Not that I hate nobody, but there's rules of this Bible that I raise my children and grandchildren with, and them lines I will not cross over. And I've had to take a stand. I've become an outcast because I stood as being a Christian. But honey, let me tell you tonight, you're looking at a man that is so blessed. I praise God that He saved me one day. Hallelujah. Put me in the greatest church in town. I'm glad the Holy Ghost lives in me. And greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. I'm glad tonight I'm on the winning side. Hallelujah. I ain't got to back up to nobody. And I ain't got to apologize for no kind of preaching tonight. Well, glory. If you suffer wrongfully, try to live what I preach the best I can. Now, I'm going to stand up and preach against something and lead my family into it. I don't care if I lose every relative I've got. Right's right. Wrong's wrong. compliance of suffering. This is thankworthy. He said, if you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Let me ask y'all something as I close. If God's happy with you standing for right, how can you go wrong? This is acceptable with God that you take it patiently. They see you in the store and they begin to say things and point all this out. You know the best thing to do is be kind to people and love them and point them toward our captain. Next time they say, you know what, you doing this and doing that with your kids, and well, you a Bible thumper and you go to church twice on Sunday, I'll say, you know, you ought to just come try it sometime. Because God sure has been good to me. And then I want to close with this last statement. There's the conquest of suffering. And listen to me, now I'm going to give this invitation. These are five things I want to say right here tonight. The conquest of our suffering. Why do we suffer? Why? Number one, to deliver us from the confidence of ourself. I can't make this through without Him. I don't have this. I don't pull no punches. 36 years, me and my wife's been married. We love each other. Oh, we've got our issues. We've always have. You know why? Because we're imperfect people. And as good of as a lady as I'm married. And I'm telling you, I'm married to a lady. But there's times, Brother Gerald, she can't help me. To deliver us from the confidence of self. I'm glad I got somebody can help me tonight. To develop us for Christian service. Some of you are better because you've suffered. Some of you are not so judgmental now because you've suffered. It's easy to be judgmental till it comes to your house. To deliver us, to develop us, to display us for Christ's similarities. To display. Preacher, how'd you get through that? Captain. Our brother stood today, and as many of our churches rallied around that family. Brother, how'd you get through that? Display Christ. Boy, if it takes suffering for me to lift Him high, then God let me hurt. Then to direct us to Christ's side. You know, when Simeon came out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, Jesus going to Calvary, they laid on Him the cross. That heavy cross of suffering they laid on Simon kept him in line with the Savior because Jesus was on the other end of that cross. And it showed him every place that heavy cross would take him, Jesus was going with him. What you need tonight? You suffering? My brother plays. Whatever we need to do tonight, I want to open these altars. I know God's put this in my heart, maybe just for me, I don't know. If you need some help tonight, won't you come? Maybe you're in a place and you're really hurting. Maybe a child's got you hurting, or a family, a friend, or maybe it's physically. Would you come, ask the Lord to help you with it, that you may magnify His goodness and His grace. While we sing tonight, would you come? Whatever you need, I'm done preaching. Would you come?